All right, kiddos, kindergartens through sixth grade, y'all can head downstairs, taking shortcuts if you want. And so, all right, well, like I said earlier, good morning, man. It's so good to be here. I look forward to this every week. This is what inspires me, just getting together as the body of Christ, as a church family, to praise and worship Jesus together. I study His Word so that you and I can share in who our God is, what He's done for us, and how it is that we can know Him and serve Him more and more each and every day of our lives. I'm glad that you all are here for another reason, because I want to just do a quick congregational vote. I've got an idea, I've got a vision for our church, and so I just want you guys to also be on board with me. And so what I want to do, my vision, is to make Ledge Rock a slave factory, a place where we grow and produce slaves. We'll recruit people from our community, really anywhere we can grab them, anywhere, and drag them here, train them up, and then use them as slaves. So, any questions? Are we ready to vote? My vision is that we put all of our energy, everything that we do, into manufacturing slaves, making lots and lots of slaves. Now, before we actually vote, your first thought might be, man, that sounds terrible. That's a horrible idea. Man, that's really bad. There's nothing good about slavery. Abraham Lincoln, January 1st of 1863, put into effect the Emancipation Proclamation. In so doing, he freed the slaves. Freed the slaves, and now slavery is illegal. Yes, slavery is illegal, maybe, but it sure is prevalent in the world that we live in. Now, I understand, like, human trafficking is at an all-time high. Legitimate, actual slavery is. There's greater numbers enslaved today than ever in history. I understand that, and I don't want to take anything away from the horrors that is that sort of slavery. But slavery, while it is illegal in America, it is certainly prevalent all around us. In fact, as we'll learn today, the Bible teaches that all of us, every single person born into this world, is a slave. A slave of some sort. A slave of one thing or another. Now, a slave is simply one that is owned and obeys a master. Owned by and obeys their master. Everyone is a slave of either self and sin or a Savior. Let that sink in for just a second. Everyone is either a slave of self and sin or a Savior. Now today, we're going to look at God's Word together. Book of Romans, by the way, Romans chapter 6, if you have a copy of God's Word. We're going to look at God's Word and understand how it is that we can stop being a slave to self and sin and start being a slave to the Savior. Book of Romans chapter 6, as Brother Dick said, most all of God's Word is my favorite. Depends on what I'm studying that day or that week. I too like Isaiah a lot. Romans, though, man, Romans has to be right there. Romans is such a neat book in that the Apostle Paul wrote this book to the church in Rome. Now, the church in Rome was unique because it was made up of Gentiles, Romans, but it was also made up of Jews. And there was a time period where the emperor of Rome, he kicked the Jews out of Rome and they had to leave, and then they came back to the church. And when the Jews came back, the church had shifted to getting away from the Jewish like rules and rituals, and it had changed. And so Paul wrote this letter to the church in Rome, where you and I today can gain much of our theology. Much of our beliefs is explained so clearly in the book of Romans. And that's why I remember reading it for the first time, and I didn't mark in my Bible. I just felt like that wasn't right. And so I just memorized verses that I thought were important. And when I got done with the book of Romans, I had like 15 or 20 different verses. I'm like, man, this whole chapter, I can't memorize that, but like memorize key verses. The point is that the book of Romans is rich with our doctrine. Paul wrote it so that there was clarity to both Jews and Gentiles who Jesus is, how we get saved, how we move from death to life, and how we become part of the body of Christ. If you want to know about what Christianity is, read the book of Romans, and then read it again, and then read it again. It will just continue to speak to you and change your life forever. We get the privilege of sharing in the book of Romans together today. Romans chapter 6, we're going to pick up in verse 15. Lots of verses today. Follow along. I think we've got a slide for you up here if you don't have your own Bible. God's word reads, "What then? Should we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Absolutely not. Don't you know that if you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of that one you obey, either of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. But thank God that although you used to be slaves of sin, you obeyed from the heart that pattern of teaching to which you were handed over. And having been set free from sin, you became enslaved to righteousness. I'm using a human analogy because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you offered the parts of yourselves as slaves to impurity and to greater and greater lawlessness, so now offer them as slaves to righteousness, which results in sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free with regard to righteousness. So what fruit was produced then from the things you are now ashamed of? The outcome of those things is death. But now, since you have been set free from sin and have become enslaved to God, you have your fruit, which results in sanctification, and the outcome is eternal life." Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and just the life-transforming power that's contained in your very breath. Father, I thank you for this message that you've given to me and laid on my heart. And Father, I pray that you take your word and your truth and speak it through me this morning boldly and clearly. Lord, I ask you to open up each of our hearts and minds that we may more clearly understand who we are and who you are and how it is that we can be made right with you and then serve you with all of our heart. Lord, we pray all that in Jesus' name. And the whole church said, amen. The idea behind today's message is that all of us can stop our slavery to self and sin and start our slavery to a Savior. We can switch our slavery if we follow this biblical example that's laid out here for us in God's Word. The first thing that we have to understand is the reality of the situation that we are in. We were sitting around the dinner table one night this week, and my sermon came up, this week's sermon. I was working on it or whatever, and it came up, and I told the kids and Teresa that I was going to be preaching on slavery. And our 12-year-old, well, almost 12, Isabel's 11, almost 12, you should have seen her reaction when I said we were going to talk about slavery. Eyes got great big frown on her face, disgusted. Look, she says, "Oh, Dad, don't do that. Slavery is terrible. Do you know what happened in this country with slaves? And do you know the history? Don't talk about slavery. That's horrible." She's right. Like, there is really nothing good whatsoever about slavery, especially the history here. I understand bad. Terrible for one human to own another human, and then it's terrible. It's beyond description. Just I could still picture the look on her face, like she was telling me something, you know, that I didn't know. And I'm like, "Really? What do you know about the history of our country, hon? Tell me." And little homeschooling right there at the dinner table. But she's right. slavery conjures up bad images, terrible, horrific images, extremely bad things. No one wants to be a slave. There's nothing good or positive about any of that. There's a reality that we are living in. Verse 16, Paul says, "Don't you know that if you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you're a slave to that one that you obey, either of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness?" Paul explains it very clearly there to all of us that we are all slaves of something. We're slaves of self and sin, which go together. Selfishness, pride, it's sin. We're slaves to self. We obey ourself and our own selfish desires, which is sin, or we obey a Savior. You're a slave of whatever you obey. Whatever voice is in your life that you listen to, and then follow, you're a slave to that. We all are slaves to whatever it is that we obey. Now stop and think about that for a moment, because I don't think we, especially in the American church, take that truth serious enough. We're slaves. All of us are slaves to whatever we're obeying, ourself and sin, or the Savior. I don't think we have done the Lord justice when we oversimplify what it means to be saved, to give our lives to Jesus. I think that some of us can be guilty of saying, "Wow, Jesus, thank you for saving me. I don't have to face hell. Now I can do kind of whatever it is that I want, and there's no eternal consequences," and we take the Lord for granted. Think with me about what it means to truly be a slave to whatever we're obeying, our heart or the Lord. The reality is that we serve either ourselves in sin or our Savior. All of us born into slavery. Everyone born into slavery. We're a slave to sin, which equals death, or a slave to the Savior, which means obedience and leads to righteousness. It's one or the other. There's no middle ground. One or the other, period. That's the reality of the world that we live in. That's the reality of our life. Think about that before I even go on. Without that reality, the rest of this is just words. Slave to sin and its horrific consequences, or a slave to the Savior, which results in righteousness. That's the reality. Then there's a response that then follows the realization of that reality. The response is really, there's two different choices. You can continue to choose yourself and sin and remain separated from a holy and perfect God. You can choose that. Choose self, choose sin, remain separated, suffer death, and suffer eternal consequences, such as that choice of remaining a slave to self and sin, listening to your own voice. "I don't like the sound of that stuff, so I'm going to do what I want to do." Separated, eternal consequences, horror, bad. Or there's a better choice. Or there's a wiser choice that we can make. Oh, verse 17, he explains it. Listen to how Paul's words change, how it goes from what that was bad to verse 17. "But thank God that although you used to be a slave of sin, you obeyed from the heart that pattern of teaching to which you were handed over." And verse 18, "And having been set free from sin, you became enslaved to righteousness." Look at the difference in the transformation there. For us to switch our slavery, to go from slave to sin and self, switch it over to be a slave to the Savior. There's two key words that Paul mentions there in verse 17. Two amazing key words. If you write in your Bibles, underline those. Make a note in your program. Obey and heart. Obey and heart. I've shared many times my heart toward obedience. I think we so miss the mark so easily when it comes to obedience. I think that, and I'm speaking very general, the American church, we've substituted head knowledge for obedience. We think that Bible studies after Bible studies is enough, that fills our lives in with good things, and therefore we are following Jesus, and we leave radical, life-transforming, Spirit-led obedience out of the equation. Jesus, in His great commission, He told us, the church, to go out all over the world, everywhere, here, there, and everywhere, and make disciples of all the nations. Disciple is a follower of, in this case, the teacher, the Lord Jesus. Make disciples of Jesus, baptize them, and then teach them to obey all that He has taught, all that He's commanded. We don't do too bad with missions. Go out, share the name of Jesus. We'll even baptize a man, line him up, dunk him in the lake, get him wet, baptize him. But I think we drop the ball when it comes to teaching them to obey everything that He has commanded. You see, that's where the rubber meets the road. I think we miss it. Check off another Bible study. Good. Actually live sold out, regenerated, radically changed. I think we miss that. Paul says serving sin leads to death. Obedience leads to righteousness. If you're a slave of the Savior, you have to obey. Obey Jesus. Obey His teaching. You read God's Word and then you do what it says. You listen to the voice of the Spirit. The Bible teaches every true believer is filled with the presence of God Himself in us. God didn't leave us to flounder on our own. He lives inside us, and He will lead us to a life of obedience if we let Him. If you're not living obediently and you feel this tug in your heart that you need to give up an area of your life and look more like Jesus, that's conviction from the Spirit. Listen to His voice. Do what the Bible says 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. The truth is, all the sacrificial service in the world without obedience to who God actually is worthless. The truth is, all the sacrificial service in the world without the right heart behind it is absolutely worthless. Obey with the right heart. Our heart is key. Our heart is at the center of our core. Romans 10:10 tells, I'll paraphrase, says that one confesses with the mouth unto salvation, but one believes with the heart unto righteousness. Our heart is an essential element of our salvation. We cannot truly be saved without our heart being softened by the Spirit, by the work of God. He softens our heart. He opens up our blinded eyes. He reveals who we are, our sinful nature, our distance from Him. He reveals His glory, and He leads us to a repentant cry out to Him and asking of forgiveness And then if we do, he will live inside us and change us from the inside out. Obedience with the right heart is crucial. The religious leaders of Jesus' day were doing lots of good things. They were doing very religious things. They were leading God's people to keep hundreds and hundreds of laws, rules, regulations, and religion everywhere. And Jesus criticized them because their hearts were far from him. Their hearts were far removed. The reality is that we are all slaves to something, self and sin, or a Savior. The right response to that reality is to stop being a slave to sin and start being a slave to the Savior, to Jesus, obediently from the heart, following the Word of God. I love verse 18. I'll read it again. He says, "And having been set free from sin, you became enslaved to righteousness." Righteousness is just simply a right standing in God's eyes. Right now, from wrong and sin to right because of Jesus, because of Jesus's perfection. You switch your slavery from self and sin over to the Savior. And then what happens if we do that? What's the result when we switch our slavery? Verse 22. "But now, since you have been set free from sin and have become enslaved to God, you have your fruit, which results in sanctification, and the outcome is eternal life." The crazy cool thing about choosing to serve Jesus as Lord and Savior, the crazy cool thing about transitioning your life in Jesus is that radical things happen. Radical things, crazy things, things that we can't explain. Stuff happens inside true born-again believers that other people can see because they can see God in each of us. This radical transformation and transition, we transition from death to life. Dead in sin, alive in Christ. It's crazy cool. We transition from being separated from God to being a child of God. We transition from being an enemy of God into the army of God. We transition from being under the control of Satan to under control of the King of all kings. We become regenerated, which is a neat word for being flushed out all the old and made brand new from the inside out, ready to go, ready to obediently serve this new Savior. We transition into something that's new. The Bible says we're new creatures, new creations. Old is gone and dead and far away, and we're made brand new, new on the inside out. One of my favorite words to describe that is born again. Born again, not of the flesh any longer, but now born new of the Spirit of God living inside us, born again, set free from slavery to sin, set free, bought at a price, and set free. Redeemed. Set free from slavery to sin, set free into a life of sanctification. If you were here last week, we talked about that big word sanctification. It simply means set apart for Christ-like good works. Set apart for Christ-likeness. Christ-like good works. Sanctified happens once and for all when we're saved, and then we begin a lifetime of continuing to be sanctified more and more Christ-like. Paul said, I haven't achieved it yet, but man, I've run a good race and I've fought a hard fight. And I forget all my past failures and I march forward to the prize. That is one day my Christ-likeness as I get to see Jesus face to face. Stepping from slavery of sin and self into slavery to the Savior means we're set free from death into a life of sanctification, more and more like Jesus. One of the greatest things about switching our slavery from sin to the Savior is that no longer are we bound by the fruit of the flesh. If you like to take notes, Galatians 5, I don't know the first verse, it's around verse 15, it's in there, lists the fruit of the flesh, and it's long. Lots of things are evidence of us living in our flesh: anger, malice, pride, hatefulness, disunity, selfishness, I want, I don't like. It's fruit of the flesh. Evidence of the flesh, evidence of being a slave to self, slave to sin. In Jesus, we don't have to live that way any longer. Set free from death, set free from sin, its consequences, set free from the grip that sin has upon all of us, and now released to live the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the evidence of God Himself living inside us. It's radical, the change. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. Switching our slavery from self and sin over to the Savior means we don't have to be angry anymore. We don't have to have hatred in our heart toward whatever. Instead, we have the love of God inside us, which leads to joy and peace and patience. When I meet folks that they think one of their spiritual gifts is discouragement, One of the things that I do, and there's some folks I think that's their spiritual gift. My gift is discouragement. I'm gonna knock this down a little bit. Like, they're the ones that toppled your little tower over when you were a kid building it, you know, in the nursery or whatever. When I meet someone like that, it's fairly quick and easy to understand. Are they coming from a place of just sold out, passionate love for Jesus, and they're concerned that we're straying from God's word? Or are they saying, I used to like this better. I. Are they slave to self and sin, or are they slave to the Savior? When a brother or sister comes with love and joy and peace in their heart and shares a concern, you had better pay attention. When someone with anger and malice and hatred in their heart comes to you, smile and love them. And I'll leave it at that. We don't have to be a slave to ourself any longer. We can be set free from that old life in Jesus. Isn't God's grace awesome? Isn't God's grace amazing? We're promised a glorious eternal life when we're made right with God in Christ, because we're now a slave of this Savior that once was dead, but now He's alive. A glorious, eternal victory forever. Isn't God's grace amazing? Verse 15 helps us stay in check. Verse 15 says, what then? Should we sin? Should we continue in our sin? Should we continue to listen to ourselves in that dark voice? Should we continue in sin because we're not under the law any longer, but under grace? And Paul doesn't beat around the bush. He answers it very simply in two words. He says, absolutely not. God is good all the time. God's grace is rich and thorough and all-encompassing and amazing. But we never, ever take it for granted. You see, the truth is that every one of us are slaves, born into slavery. A slave to ourself and sin, or a slave to the Savior. You are a slave of whatever you obey. Whatever voice you're listening to, you are a slave to that. The biggest decision that any of us will ever make is to switch our slavery over. To stop being a slave to self and sin, and to start being a slave to Jesus. Biggest decision we'll ever make. There is no greater decision before mankind than what to do with Jesus. Do we submit, surrender, give Him control, which is what it means to make Him Lord? Or do we continue in our sin, continue in our selfishness? Once we switch our slavery over to the Savior, then we begin a life of making a decision day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, whether to obey Him, surrender to Him, listen to His voice, or continue to listen to our own and choose what we want. Hear me, it's not easy following Jesus. Decision after decision, one decision at a time. Choose Jesus or choose self. Let me say again, dear brother and sister, God's grace is wonderful. God is rich in mercy. And what God did through Jesus on the cross is truly remarkable. The fact that God Himself left the glory of heaven, came to the earth and lived a perfect sinless life, and then willingly went to the cross and died on that cross to pay the penalty for your and I's rebellion, for our sin, our selfishness. Jesus died for us. And then He was buried. But then Jesus came back to life, and in so doing, He defeated sin and death and its horrible consequences forever for all who will choose to accept His grace by our faith, our trust. We're saved once and for all. We cannot lose our salvation. No one can pluck us out of His hands. There's no eraser for the book of life. Once we're saved forever. But may we never take our salvation for granted. If you're here today and you're being convicted of some sin that you just don't want to let go of, make today the day when you repent of that sin. Turn away from that old way. Walk away from it. Just trust in Jesus that much more, and He will fill the void that you just left with that old sin, and He'll continue to make you more and more like Himself. Don't ever take the cross of Christ and the empty tomb for granted. God's grace is rich, but He is worth our life of obedience if we can say that we're a slave of the Savior. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word and just the incredible richness of how You've spoken to us and continue to grow us and mold us to be more and more like You. And Father, I thank You that even in our sin, You didn't just talk about Your love for us. You proved it in sending Jesus to come and die for us, that we now can be made right with You. Oh Lord, we praise You and thank You for that. Please, Lord, help each one of us transition from death to life and switch our slavery from self and sin over to the Savior, and may you be highly exalted through that. Oh, it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.